Hello, this is Mother Storm from St. James in Scarsdale. Thank you, as always, for listening to these sermons. Last Sunday's sermon was based on the letter from Paul to the Galatians, but I refer in it at the beginning to a passage from the Gospel reading. It's from Luke's Gospel, a passage about Jesus' visit to the town of the Gerasenes on the Lake of Galilee, and when he arrives, a demon-possessed, very obviously mentally ill man comes running out to him and shouts at him and shrieks at him. And it might help if you look at the sermon online to see the linked text from the gospel there. But that's what I'm referring to at the beginning of the sermon, even though I don't refer to it. In the end of the story from Luke, Jesus casts out the demon and the man runs around praising God for what's been done for him. And it's a beautiful story. It's also a complicated story, and I didn't want to let that go unacknowledged. So here we go. That's at the beginning, and then I get into another passage from the reading. Good morning. Any other week, I'd be compelled to talk about the Gerasene demoniac, as this man in our complex and very troubled gospel reading is often called. This is one of the most fascinating and also heartbreaking stories in all the gospels, and it touches deeply those who have ever struggled with or had a friend or family member suffer from mental illness. It almost seems unfair for the church to drop this in our laps on an early summer Sunday, the second day of summer, even. So I'm going to preach on something different today. But first, I'd like to pause and acknowledge this man, possessed by a legion, that is, many demons, whose life is improved at the end of the gospel passage, but whose struggles undoubtedly didn't end there, because many of us know that mental health challenges of this kind are often lifelong and are seldom cured in one fell swoop. Instead, there are moments of relief, and that relief comes in the form of small touches, gestures, displays of love and compassion. But families sometimes run out of the energy it takes. And I guess I'm just saying, my heart today is with anyone whose own story in some way connects with this one. I'm grateful to our gospels and the church for bringing people like him out of the shadows. Now, that said, we're also here this morning to celebrate the baptism of Lalo Chow, just newly 1 year old, and the baby Jesus in last year's Christmas pageant, a promising start to this sweet little man's life. Welcome to his parents, Caro and Kyle, grandparents, Donna and Ray, we all know this family well, and friends and family visiting, including godparents, Daniel and Mariana, and visitors in the family from far away from the Southwest. I know Lalo's parents and what draws them to this church and the Episcopal tradition, which is very much what this service of baptism is all about. Caring for our neighbor, repairing the world, pursuing justice, living a life of service and surrender. The values we'll clothe this child in today will be the ones he continues to be surrounded by, not only in church, but at home. I'm grateful you're all here and that you're a part of this parish. You bring to this place as much as we give to you. Our selection from Paul's letter to the Galatians is perfect for today, and I hope you'll always remember it and associate it with this day in your son's life. We've many of us heard this passage, even if we weren't exactly sure who said it. In Christ, there is neither east nor west, Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul lived and wrote just 20 years after Jesus, so earlier by 30 or so years than the Gospels were written. It's sometimes said that Paul changed the homespun rural faith of Jesus of Nazareth into an urban philosophical faith. But more often than not, Paul captures something of the spirit of Jesus, as much as those who came later, and I think very much so in this passage. These were the big divisions of Paul's, and by proximity, Jesus' time in their part of the world, life or death divisions. In his sermon, Paul's Letter to American Christians, one of his early sermons, Martin Luther King sought to update this passage for our time. Pretending to be Paul, speaking to Christians in this country in 1958, and using various excerpts from Paul's writings, including today's reading from Galatians, as his inspiration, King called out our fealty to our own small, petty, manufactured divisions. In Christ, there is neither Lutheran or Episcopalian, Roman Catholic or Protestant, Methodist, Baptist, or Presbyterian. In Christ, there is neither white nor black, nor enslaved, nor rich, nor poor. Some of these divisions Paul never would have known. Others are exactly the same. As it turns out, today's gospel story of the Gerasene demoniac, the man who suffers and who is calmed by Jesus, is instructive this morning. It takes place on the other side of the sea, Lake of Galilee, in territory and among people who weren't Jesus' own people. It's one of the earliest instances in the Gospels of Jesus reaching out to someone outside his own tribe on many levels, a Gentile, not Jewish, a sick person, not well, a societal outcast afflicted with demons. A lot of boundaries are being crossed in that journey from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. This gospel reading is about crossing boundaries and refusing to accept the divisions we create for ourselves, just as Paul implores in his letter to the Galatians. As I like to repeatedly say to our confirmation kids last year, when someone is lying on the side of the road hurt, it doesn't matter what their faith is, or skin color, or sex, or gender, or political party, or whatever else we get so worked up about all the time. Male, female, Jew, Christian, Muslim, or Buddhist, Episcopal, Roman Catholic, black, white, rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, cis, trans, we're all people with the same fears and vulnerabilities. And when someone is down and in trouble, just jump in and help. We're about to welcome a new child into the faith. We're about to reaffirm our own faith. And though Lalo, about to be baptized, doesn't yet know how committed we all are or are not, let's remember that we do this together at every baptism of a new child, to hold ourselves accountable to God and to each other, and especially to the youngest among us. We will instill in them the trust and hope and faith that is only passed on by example, our example. Amen.